Hi, everybody. Welcome to Two Off the First. Today is August the 29th, 2023. Ryan Ballinger, it's great to have you here with us. We're presented by our friends at Swannies. Check them out at swannies.co. We're going to be taking over all kinds of Swannies stuff over to Ireland, leaving tomorrow night. So we'll record the show tomorrow in the morning and then flying on Aer Lingus over to Ireland. We'll be having their hoodies, polos, caps. They're going to all be part of the repertoire for the Ireland trip. The hoodies are just awesome. They're going to be perfectly made for Irish weather, too. You're going to love them. If you've never had one, give them a try. And we've got a promo code for you to try out, so you can get 25% off your first order at Swannies. That's GolfNewsNet25, GolfNewsNet25, Swannies.co, to go find out more about Swannies. Okay, two topics today. They're essentially the same topic, but different teams. We've got the captain's picks made for the U.S. Men's Ryder Cup team, and we've got the picks made on the ladies' side for the... We got two topics today. They are fundamentally the same topic, but different teams. We have the captain's picks in just a few minutes ago from Zach Johnson for the U.S. Ryder Cup team that's going to Italy, and yesterday we got the captain's picks from Stacey Lewis, her three, for the U.S. Solheim Cup team that's going to Spain. And we'll be at both of those. I'm going to be making one of these kind of once-in-a-lifetime trips, which is, I feel like I've had three in a year. But once-in-a-lifetime trip going to cover the Solheim Cup. And then my wife and I are going to take a little stopover in Munich for the Oktoberfest for the first time. And maybe only time, who knows. And then going down to Rome to cover the Ryder Cup. So get to take in both of these events on foreign soil for the first time. Never been to a Solheim Cup, period. It's going to be here in my neck of the woods in the D.C. area next year, so very excited about that. Let's start with today's news, and that is the Ryder Cup selections. And Zach Johnson announced this at 10 a.m., and they're pretty much who you expected, I think. The names were kind of leaked yesterday by a couple of different folks. And I think most of the names, five of the six names were pretty evident right away, right? Brooks Koepka was going to make the team. He was just knocked out on points because he doesn't have access to points. He's the PGA of America champion, for crying out loud. Of course he's going to be on the team. Colin Morikawa was going to make it. Great ball strikers, had a very good year. Jordan Spieth was going to make it. Had a very good year, pretty consistent player. Top 15, top 20, whatever he is these days, player in the world. Then it started to get a little bit squirrelier, I think, but you kind of knew Ricky Fowler was going to make the team because he had a really nice comeback year. Everyone on the committee likes Ricky Fowler, you know, all the people who are doing the selecting of the teams, so he was pretty much in regardless. Then you had to start thinking about, okay, well, we're down to a couple more. Who do we want to pick to round out this team? And then you kind of got to a decision between three players, maybe four players, maybe five players, depending on how you think about it. Did you want to have Keegan Bradley on the team? Two wins on the season, won the Travelers. Very fiery competitor. Seems like a good match player. Also seems like he's totally fine with getting in the face of European people on their soil. Justin Thomas was out there because he's a Ryder Cup gamer. He's basically in the good old boys group. He's practically on the committee that picks the team, and he did win a major last year, although he has been not very good since. Then there was Cam Young, who Freddie Couples anointed as being on the team months ago. And you figured, okay, well, that Freddie's got to be in the know, so that's got to mean something, and he was great on the President's Cup team. You had Sam Burns out there. He's good buddies with Scottie Scheffler. They get along really well. He won big at the WGC match play, RIP WGC match play, and just kind of seemed to do good things in a match play format. And ultimately, they picked Sam Burns and Justin Thomas as the final two guys. Some people might have been upset that Lucas Glover didn't make the team because he won twice back-to-back to get into the playoffs in the first playoff event. But it looked like he was out of gas toward the end of the final two. And frankly, I think when you're thinking about this kind of thing, one, we overthink it way too much. because this is a one-game scenario kind of thing. You play 18 whole matches, one singular event at a time, and if you played them in a series, you'd get the better team would work itself out. But a lot of things happen randomly in 18 holes that you can't really predict, especially once you get teams involved, once you get alternate shot or better ball involved. That gets much more random. Then you have, you're at the mercy of the course setup, the weather that day, the fans, the whole location. I mean, there's a lot at work here that you can't really control if you're Zach Johnson. So I think the smartest thing to do is to think about the captain's picks. And by the way, I like that they have six. I like that Zach Johnson has six. I think that gives him an opportunity, or future captains an opportunity, to decide how to pair the automatic qualifiers best with the next best or the next available that didn't make the team automatically. Because the automatic qualifiers are Scottie Scheffler, who right now cannot putt, Wyndham Clark, who had a very nice year, won a couple times, is a U.S. Open champion, very good putter. Maybe they're a match, who knows. Brian Harman, who you probably did not pencil in to make the Ryder Cup team at the start of the year. Patrick Cantlay, Max Homa, and Xander Schauffele. Now, you would figure Cantlay and Schauffele are together no matter what's going on here. So you got to find players who you might be able to pair with Scheffler, Clark, Harman, and Homa. Well, Morikawa and Homa played together in the Zurich Classic, so you presume they would like to play together. Harman doesn't have a clear match to me, but maybe Wyndham Clark is one of those. Maybe Sam Burns is one of those. As I mentioned, I think Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns are a pair. Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth are both captain's picks. They're probably a pair. Where do you throw Rick in that? He could go with either of those guys. Hashtag SB2K16 and 17. So I think the only person without a very obvious pairing, and maybe even that includes Brooks Koepka, doesn't have an obvious pairing. But I think he could play with Ricky Fowler. He could play with Scottie Scheffler. Yeah, really, he could play with anybody. I'm not saying that. But I think he could make it work. So you got to find a way to pair Harman. Maybe that goes Wyndham Clark's way. And you just go with that. But you've got to find pairings that work. And I think that's the perspective Zach Johnson had. He did say, and he hoisted a whole lot of pressure on Justin Thomas in saying this, that you couldn't leave JT at home and that he was made for this. That's a lot. That's like going, all right, now you got to go at least 3-0. And you don't know what you're going to get. I mean, we have been, as an American fan, if you root for the United States of America, or you are an American and rooting for the United States of America, whatever, in this format, you have been on the other side of this decision a lot of times, where, like, for example, Ian Poulter gets on the team. You're like, this guy stunk for 2 years, relatively speaking, has barely done anything, gets on the Ryder Cup team, gets reinvigorated, and it's like he's the number three player in the world all of a sudden, and you can't beat him. That has happened way too many times to the American side. And you go, well, where's that guy? Why don't we have that guy? I think the gambit here is that Justin Thomas is that guy. Or, to that same end, Jordan Spieth's that guy. Now, Jordan Spieth's had a really nice year. Got to the Tour Championship. Has had a very nice season. So I'm not knocking Jordan Spieth's capacity at the moment. But to make him a captain's pick, to go, okay, well, we think you can contribute a whole heck of a lot. But again, I think both of their involvement in the Ryder Cup committee and all that stuff certainly helps their position, right? It didn't help with Keegan Bradley. It didn't help for Lucas Glover or like a Denny McCarthy, who, you know, those types of folks are just going to have to basically play their way on. That's the only way that kind of thing happens. It's just how it is. So I think the picks make sense. I know there's probably a lot of online discussion there has been the last couple of days that, well, JT's playing bad, he shouldn't be on the team. And I completely get it. I'm of the position, I don't think he should be on the team. But I also understand the counter argument that he pairs well with a bunch of people, that he's been a part of this process, that he loves being in these types of situations, and that he has proven himself pretty consistently to be a stone-cold killer. What we don't know is if all that's going to translate pretty well to Marco Simone, which from what I understand is going to be set up to be pretty narrow off the tee, have some deeper rough, and going to be in many ways like Le Golf National in Paris in 2018, where the U.S. got absolutely drubbed because the Europeans figured out very intelligently that if they narrowed all the fairways on a course with a whole ton of water in play, that eventually the Americans would make some boo-boos. And they did. And then they got smoked, and then we got Mollywood, and Patrick Reed running down Tiger Woods, of all people, and Brooks not being any good, and DJ and Brooks having some issues, and whatever that turned out to be. I mean, that was bad. So, here we are. We got a different team. We got a lot of relative inexperience that may be a good thing, maybe a bad thing. And you're going on the road trying to win for the first time in 30 years. So, let's see what happens. I'm not too worried about it one way or the other. This is not keeping me up at night about whether you win the Ryder Cup or not. It's going to be fun. We'll have a good time. We'll find out Luke Donald's team soon enough. He'll make his picks. There's going to be a variety of liabilities on both sides, particularly at the bottom of the roster, so to speak. And that, in my mind, is what's going to determine who wins the Ryder Cup. The quote-unquote potential liabilities, how they perform when they get the chance to play. And do they go from a liability beforehand to a strength during it? That's your question, right? We'll see. I'm fascinated by it all. Can't wait to cover it. We're going to have a great time. But remember, at the end of the day, it's an exhibition among a bunch of whole rich guys that really are just doing this for a good time. So let's all have fun with it. Okay, second story is the other team competition that we have going on. And those picks were made for the Solheim Cup team on the U.S. side yesterday. So the team was finalized after the CPKC Women's Open, the Canadian Women's Open, up in Vancouver. And Stacey Lewis, the captain of the U.S. side. She's the captain this year and next year. They're playing back-to-back years to get it back on even numbered years because it's never been played. It's not tried to be played in the same year as the Ryder Cup. They want to have it as a every other year kind of thing. So they're going to be back on the even numbered years after this year. But Stacey Lewis went with, she had three captain's picks. So 9 players made the team. 7 made it on points. 2 made it on their status in the Rolex Women's World Golf Ranking. Those 2 players were Lexi Thompson and Rose Zhang. You're your top 7 in points. And then you had 3 picks left to make. So Stacey Lewis went with Angel Yin, who was basically in a dead heat with Rose Zhang for the second. Well, they were the first and second players. They're basically tied in the world ranking. Rose Zhang finished higher at the Women's Open, or Canadian Women's Open, so she got the nod. But I think Stacey Lewis realized, hey, you know, it just makes sense to pick the person who was kind of first out. Allie Ewing got a pick. She was up there in the point standings and really had a nice year. I mean, she's a good player. Seems like a good match player. She's done well in the Bank of Hope LPGA match play in the past. She wound up 9th in points. So she would be the next up to not qualify because Lexi Thompson got on the world ranking piece of it. So she was in. So kind of the person left out was Allison Lee. And I think there was a case to be made for her, but I think Stacey knows Cheyenne a little bit better. Cheyenne won this year. She won the team event, the Dow Great Lakes Bay Invitational in Michigan, which is, again, team event with Elizabeth Zokel. So she's had some of this format success recently, this format being alternate shot and better ball, albeit that's a stroke play event. That's not a match play situation. But nevertheless, those were the picks made. And really, Allison Lee is the one kind of left scratching her head. But Angel Yin played a factor in 2 major championships. She's been in this situation before. Allison Lee's similarly. But I think Angel Yin's a really interesting player on the road because I don't think she really cares about what anyone thinks of her. And I think she could be a really excitable part of the team room that they're going to have. We talked to Cheyenne. I talked to Cheyenne Knight yesterday after the pick. The LPGA facilitated that for us. We had a good conversation. You can listen to that on GNN Radio or on the 19th Hole Golf Show. That will go out today. It's an interesting conversation because I wanted to talk to her about what the day is like the day that you find out and the day that she had yesterday doing all the media around it, and then what she's thinking about as being, you know, part of this team. And she said some very interesting things, and it's worth listening to. So check that out when you have a chance. But there are, obviously, I've already kind of thought about, well, who's going to get paired with who? And they're doing that now. They're going to let data kind of tell them that, which I thought was interesting. So that's a much more modern view of matchmaking in these events. And that has not only been adopted on the Ryder Cup side by the U.S. and the Europeans, thanks to the advent of strokes game, but now that the LPGA has that with their version of it, which is called KPMG Performance Insights, which is strokes gain, that they can use that data to kind of put players together based on how they might play in certain formats. So that's interesting to it. It's also interesting the U.S. side has five rookies, and two of them won majors this year. Lilia Vu is a rookie. She won two majors this year. Allison Corpuz is a rookie. She won a major this year. So you've got players competing in this. Andrea Lee's new to it. Cheyenne Knight's new to it. Ellie Ewing's new to it. So I mean, you've got players on this roster who don't have experience in the Solheim Cup in this format. They have match play experience because they're golfers, but they don't have experience in this format. They don't have maybe experience in the road game situation that is probably going to be facing them in Spain. They don't know the golf course, but they have also collectively accomplished a whole hell of a lot this year. So they have to have a lot of confidence. They have to have a lot of self-belief. I mean, that's the only way you win in this professional sport. So they got to translate that somehow to a team environment and into match play away from stroke play. We'll see if that happens. But I think this team makes sense. And I think it makes sense trying to have rookies here in a road game where I know they're trying to win this year. You're always trying to win. But you also have to think about next year, which is a home game where you're definitely expected to win and absolutely want to win because you lost the last time at home. And so you got to think about that piece of it too. So I think some of this is thinking about the future a little bit, trying to get some players experience, but half of them got there anyway. So they were going to be a part of this regardless. So it's an opportunity to build experience on the road. Maybe you get one because, as I've mentioned on the show, I think Suzanne Pedersen's picks are a little surprising, maybe strange, maybe upsetting for some people. But those picks weren't necessarily made thinking about next year, I don't think. I think they were made thinking about getting them into the Solheim Cup and seeing if they can kind of gel at this particular junction. I think Stacey Lewis is thinking a little bit more toward the future, and that's not to say that that won't work in 2023, but I think if it does work in 23, it is set up to be also workable in 24. And that piece is very interesting to me. So we've got almost all of the players for both of these team competitions now known. We don't know all of the European side. Find that out. But pretty close, I think, there on the European team. There may be one surprise, but I don't think that there's going to be. I know that there are people pining for Patrick Harrington to get a pick for some reason. That is not going to happen. You just kind of have to figure out what young blood you want to put on this team and what DP World Tour regulars you want to make the team if you are Luke Donald. Because the way the European ranking system works, they draw upon players from the European points list, and then they pull three from that, and then you draw from the world points list, and you draw from that, and then you got to make picks from there. So you're going to have a strong top load here for the European side, but then you've got to go figure out, do you want to go in kind of more toward the European points list and go for guys like Adrian Meronk and Yannick Paul, or do you go toward the world points list where you're basing it off of world ranking points earned for players who predominantly play in America, and you go after Do you bring in Sepp Straka? Do you bring in Justin Rose? Do you bring in Shane Lowry? But who do you pick from and where do you draw from? And that'll be Luke Donald's challenge. But we'll find out more about that soon. We'll have our teams together. Then we know the 24 teams, 24 players from each team going over, or for each competition going over all 48 players in total. And we're going to have some fun. But in the meantime, I'm going to get ready to go to Ireland. I'm going to get packed up and check in on the flight and all that good stuff. And we'll do a show tomorrow. We'll get ready for, probably talk a little bit, maybe about Ryder Cup, depending on what's said, and get ready for the week ahead. Then flying over there, and we're going to have a great time doing shows over there, video versions of the show, not just audio versions, so you can actually see Ireland in the background. Hopefully you'll enjoy that a lot. I know I'm going to, once I get over the jet lag. If you catch us on a podcast platform, let you do so. Leave us a 5-star review. Leave a comment. Helps us reach more people. You can email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Find me on X/Twitter or Threads and Instagram @RyanBallingy. Happy to talk golf, life, whatever in between with you. Back tomorrow with another show. Thanks so much for your time. We'll catch you next time on 2 Off the First.